Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth bad fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits shall ye know them. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, as we come to this passage this afternoon, pray give us discernment concerning the words that we see here and of the teachings of Christ concerning those who would be false teachers and how we are to know them. Pray, Lord, that you would minister in our hearts those things that we might be encouraged of you and edified in faith, that we give glory unto you and thank you, Father, for your word and the ministry of it. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this passage this afternoon, we find that we see that false teachers and true teachers are spoken of in the sense that we can know who a false teacher is by the very fruit which they produce. And so false teachers obviously should be avoided, and that we should seek to hear those who would be good teachers of the Word of God. The false prophet is known as a false prophet, even though they come many times in sheep's clothing. That is, they come with the appearance of being good teachers. But they can be known for who they are simply by the very nature of their ministry. Also, we note that the nature of a true prophet is revealed by the kind of fruit that the prophet produces. And so these are the two areas we're going to be looking at this afternoon. That we can know the false prophet even though he may come in sheep's clothing, and we can know the false prophet by the very nature of the prophet and the kind of fruit that the prophet is producing. I guess in today's world, as we consider the ministry of so many different types of people teaching, that it can be confusing when we view the very many and great ministries that there are. There is a number of public ministries on the television and on the radio. Perhaps you don't get to go to a number of different churches, and so you are unable, perhaps by going to church to church, to observe who is teaching correctly and who isn't. But with today's media and producing of ministries for public airing and so forth, whether it be on the radio or on the television, you are able to hear a lot of different preachers. And perhaps through the printed page, as we know that books and pamphlets and this kind of thing has been produced for many, many years, that there is a proliferation of teaching and ministry helps through the printed page. And so perhaps through that you can discern who may be a true minister of the Word of God and who may be a false minister of the Word of God. And so we have to be discerning, of course, about this kind of thing. That if we're going to take particular notice of people and their ministries, we must be somewhat discerning, for sure, to tell just what kind of fruit that these people are producing, what kind of ministry or the nature of the ministry that they have and how that it squares with the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, I'd just like to read a brief passage in Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says this: "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who secretly shall bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the word of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment," and we may just read on a bit, "and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that are after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with filthy manner of life of the wicked." As we can see, as we read on, I won't take time to read the whole thing, but it goes on and on to outline, if you will, the reasons why that God will also bring these into condemnation who are known as false prophets and false teachers and those who bring in damnable heresies, etc. False teachers obviously should be avoided. I suppose the tricky part is to know who these false teachers are and to avoid them. Sometimes we only get maybe just a glimpse of them. It may be that you turn to a television station and you catch a brief bit of a message or a presentation of some aspect of ministry. It may be that you turn on your radio and on the Christian station and you find someone is teaching on a particular subject or other. Or you may have picked up a book and had it in your library, and you begin to read it and get into the various subject matter of the book. In other words, sometimes you will have more or less opportunity to get a glimpse of who these people are. And hopefully, as you are able to read, you can discern the difference between the good teacher and the bad teacher. This passage, which begins to introduce that subject just a bit, talks about false prophets. Beware of false prophets. Well, in a sense, we know that the prophet was a foreteller as well as a forth-teller. He foretold various subject matter that God would reveal, but then he might also give future revelation. And so there was that aspect of foretelling and forthtelling which the prophet was involved in. Today, as teachers of the Word of God, as preaching the Word of God, we don't tell future events unless they're already given to us in the Scriptures. We do preach the Word of God and seek to tell what the Word of God says and to teach it with the same authority of the Word of God that the Word of God gives to us. And so we teach as those having authority, but the Word of God is our authority. And so the prophet can be known by what he is saying. Is he telling future events that he knows nothing of? Well, he might be immediately suspect. If he's only preaching the Bible of what it says, simply preaching what is already in front of you, making application and certain interpretation of the Bible according to the Scriptures, comparing Scripture with Scripture, you may be able to discern whether the teacher, the preacher, is truly telling you what the Bible is saying and is not fabricating something of their own. And so there is that aspect of it. Then there is the nature of the prophet. What nature does the prophet have? Is the prophet consistent? Is the teacher or the preacher of the Word of God consistent with the teaching and preaching of the Word of God? Or have they begun to somehow be inventive about the Word of God, coming up with some new doctrine or other, or, as the Scripture says, some damnable heresy, something that is not biblical and scriptural to the revelation of Jesus Christ? And so the false prophet is dressed in sheep's clothing. That's what the Scripture says. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Who come to you in sheep's clothing. So the false prophet typically is a false prophet because they present themselves as being other than a false prophet. If they came to you with great outlandish teaching, you would immediately be able to discern them to be false prophets. If they immediately came to you and said, "Well, we'd like to get as much money from you as possible, and we're going to have an offering on every Sunday, and I'm going to be using it for my own benefit," you probably would say, "Well, okay, this guy is really off the wall. I'm not going to listen to him at all." But if he begins to talk to you as if he is actually involved in ministry and is very subtle about it and brings in things that you might not be aware of, you may see him as being a good teacher of the Word of God, but in actuality, he might not be. And so what is it that you need? You need to have a knowledge of the Scripture yourself to be able to discern the false from the real. And as has been said concerning even our own American currency, what do we do to determine whether a currency is counterfeit or real? But we study the real thing to determine whether or not something is counterfeit. And that's what we need to do as well. We need to be good students of the Word of God ourselves, that we would know when somebody is teaching false teaching. We must be accurate teachers ourselves, or learners of the Bible ourselves, if we are going to discern that. So a false prophet comes in sheep's clothing. And so we recognize that. That's what is told to us right here in verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. So we have to be on guard against these who are false teachers whom we don't immediately know, but they are in sheep's clothing. They look like a sheep. But in this particular instance, they may not be sheep. In fact, we find that quite the opposite is in view concerning the false prophet. And that's what it goes on to say, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And so the false prophet may look like a sheep, but may not be a sheep. May not be a true prophet of God. And they are inwardly ravening wolves. Now, what is a wolf? But it is an animal that would attack and devour and take advantage of you destroy you if possible, to their own intent, to their own advantage. And we perhaps are familiar with the timber wolf. or that particular animal which would sneak up on other animals that are much more unsuspecting, like a little flock of sheep, and would immediately attack the weakest of them, perhaps those on the outside of the flock where they're unprotected by the shepherd, and they would be devoured immediately. So we realize this is the picture that is being given to us. And as we look at the whole idea of false teachers here, the description is like this. They are false teachers. They are in sheep's clothing. They look like a true teacher of the Word of God, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And so they are disguised as harmless sheep. Yet if we would be true to the Word of God, we must be discerning, and we must inspect these teachers to see if they are truly teaching the Word of God and if they are truly who they say they are. And so we are called upon to do that. In verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now we see in this particular case here that we are to inspect these teachers, if you will. We are to observe these teachers. We are to take particular note of what they are teaching and of the kind of fruit they are producing. What is going on in their ministry, we might say. When you look at someone's ministry and they are teaching the Word of God, are they teaching the true doctrines of Christ? Are they teaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ according to the Scriptures? Are they teaching those things concerning the church, what the church is truly established and based upon? There is no other foundation given but that which is Christ. And so we look at the person's ministry of teaching and discover whether or not they are being true to the Word of God. Now, it is true that you might not be able to discern that all in one setting. There may be times when you can make a quick discernment, because if you've already been a good student of the Bible yourself, and they begin to say things that throw up a red flag and begin to tell you that, well, maybe this isn't just right what they're saying, you may immediately discern that this person is not really what they propose that they are. And you can immediately just turn off the radio or switch the channel or give the book to the fire or whatever you decide to do with it. But you can make some quick changes there and feel comfortable in doing that. But at times you have to look a little bit deeper to see what kind of ministry they are involved in, and whether or not what they are saying and doing is truly in keeping with the Word of God. And so what they produce will tell you who they are, if they are truly of God. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that you disagree with on a minor point. No, there'll be people that you don't agree with everything that they say. Somebody who has a little bit different teaching on the second coming of Christ, or perhaps they have a little bit different way of looking at a certain passage that you're familiar with, and you may say, well, I never thought of it quite like that. Maybe that isn't quite right. I don't know. But as you look at the overall ministry, you're not going to agree with everything everybody has to say, but that doesn't mean that they are a false teacher. It has more to do with the true nature of the teacher, whether the nature of the teacher is true to the Word of God and shows that they are a true minister of Christ or not. And so we need to be discerning for that reason. And as I have said at other times, you will be able to immediately make some discernment based upon the doctrines of Christ and of the Word of God. For instance, if somebody comes to you and says, well, the Bible is a nice literary book, and I believe the Bible is a nice book, it has wonderful teachings in it, but I don't really believe it's inspired of God, that would be immediately red flag to you. You would say, well, they don't believe the Bible is inspired. The Scripture says all Scripture is given by inspiration of the Word of God. God breathed and is profitable for our instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the person of God, can be equipped unto all good things in Christ. Well, you see, we need to be discerning in that regard, don't we? So we need to look at the fruit of ministry and the fruit of the minister. What they produce will tell you who they are and if they are truly of God. There should be no contradiction in a true prophet of God or preacher of the gospel. There shouldn't be any contradiction. You may disagree on a point, but there shouldn't be a contradiction. You shouldn't be teaching that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and then tell you that, we were saved by works. Now, see, that would be an obvious contradiction. We're not saved by works and grace at the same time. It's either one or the other. And of course we know that the Bible teaches that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. And so we know that it would be a contradiction for a person to say both. And if you take that kind of a view of various other aspects of their ministry on important issues, then you may be able to discern a little bit more quickly whether the person is a true teacher or preacher of the Word of God or not. So we do need to be discerning in that regard. There should not be contradiction in the true prophet of God or true preacher of the gospel. All true preachers of Christ will be consistent in faith and practice. Now what we mean by that is that they are consistent in their faith, that which they believe, and their practice, that which they are doing. They'll be consistent in them. One will be supportive and beneficial to the other. And so we must have faith and practice. If we are saved by grace through faith, then we should walk by faith, shouldn't we? So walking by faith is practice. The doctrine of salvation by grace through faith is faith. That is what we believe. And so we find that faith and practice should go together, and those elements also can be compared in many different areas of the Christian teacher. And so all true preachers of Christ will be consistent in faith and practice to the doctrines of the gospel of God and of Christ. Now, the gospel of God, the greater gospel of God, meaning a greater body of truth, perhaps viewing the whole Bible and what God has to say about himself and about Jesus Christ, and then the doctrine of Christ, that which is particularly about Christ himself. There should be no contradiction between the two, because we know that the doctrine of salvation is from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. Christ can be viewed in the Old Testament as adequately as he is manifest later in the New Testament. We find the doctrine of God will not contradict with the doctrine of Christ, because God the Father sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for the sins of the world. So although that the doctrine of the Bible, the revelation of the Bible was given progressively, that is, it wasn't all given at the same time, We find that the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, but then there were later the poetical books and so on and so forth that were given, the major prophets, minor prophets. All of these books came progressively as God revealed his revelation more and more to man and for the fuller revelation of Jesus Christ who was to come. That he would be manifest in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, that he would come into the world, the God-man, born of a mother, but not of a human father, conceived of the Holy Ghost, that he would be revealed as the Son of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that he would suffer and die for the sins of the world, that he would shed his own precious blood upon the cross, and that he would resurrect upon the third day, all according to the scriptures, and that these views of God and of Christ, the doctrine of God and the doctrine of Christ, do not contradict one another, but are in complete harmony in relationship to the Bible. Does the preacher or teacher present these things in a harmony of the scripture? And so all true preachers of Christ will be consistent in faith and practice to the doctrines of the gospel of God and of Christ. Secondly, the nature of the true prophet. The nature of the true prophet. As we look at verses 16 through 20, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Well, here we see that the true prophet cannot violate the true nature of a prophet of God. What is the true nature of the prophet of God? Well, we've already talked about that a little bit. Certainly the true nature of the prophet of God is to be what he appears. If he appears to be a true sheep of God, then he will be consistent in faith and practice and in the gospel of God and the doctrines of Christ. And so he's going to have that appearance of being who he truly is. Just as in the Old Testament, the prophet who did foretell and foretell the scripture was true to those things that God gave. That is, God gave the prophet a revelation, he would tell his revelation, and that revelation would come true because the prophet was who he said he was. If he was a false prophet, then those things that he said would not be true and would prove themselves not to be true. And so we find that the true prophet is true to his nature. The nature of the true prophet cannot violate the true nature of the prophet of God. He is true. He is true to that. And so the good vine, a good grapevine, does not have thorns on it, you might say. Do men gather grapes of thorns? Grapevine doesn't have thorns, does it? No. It doesn't. You can't find a grapevine with thorns. If it did, well, it really wouldn't be a true grapevine, would it? Be something else. And so that's what we look for too when you come to a true teacher or preacher of the Word of God. A true teacher or preacher of the Word of God is not in violation with the true nature of a teacher or preacher of the Word of God. We believe the Bible is the true and inspired Word of God, verbally, plenary, in every way. It is the true inspired Word of God. In every word, in every phrase, it is the true Word of God, in its whole and complete. And so we understand that the true prophet or teacher of the Word of God is not going to violate that and say something else. Neither is the fruit of the true prophet of God going to violate the nature of that which he represents. In this particular case, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Well, figs don't have thistles. Neither do grapes have thorns. And so it would be a violation of the very nature of the prophet to see anything other than what the true prophet of God would have. And so what are we to do? We are to be good students of the Word of God that we might know these things ourselves. It's not enough just that somebody can tell you it. You must know them yourself so that you can be discerning yourself about these things. Verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth bad fruit, or evil fruit, or corrupt fruit. So we have a good tree, and we have a bad tree. And as we look at the good tree has good fruit on it. It's edible. It's profitable to you. When you begin to take that fruit and to use it, you find that it is strengthening, it is healthy, it is nourishing to your life and to who you are as being a Christian, and you do not find contradiction in what the true preacher of the Word of God is saying to you, but rather you are edified and built up in the Word of God. But that is not the same as the corrupt tree or the bad tree. The good tree cannot, verse 17, quote, so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth bad fruit. A corrupt tree, in other words, brings forth inedible fruit, not edible fruit. And so if you're involved when listening to a ministry and you find that what is being said is pretty hard to choke down, you perhaps might better not listen to what that person is saying. And if it contradicts in faith and practice, if it contradicts the gospel of God and the doctrine of Christ, if it contradicts what you know to be true about the Word of God, then you have to say, well, this fruit isn't edible. This is not what God wants me to be taking in to be nourished in. It's just going to cause problems. And you're better off to avoid that for that reason. So a good tree has edible fruit. A corrupt tree has inedible fruit. It isn't edible. It isn't profitable. It isn't edifying. It does not produce good benefits to you as being a Christian. And so, verse 18, and a good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Well, it goes back to the whole idea that the false prophet is in sheep's clothing. How can a false prophet speak those things that are beneficial to the true sheep of God? It cannot. But so it is that we can recognize. It may take you a little while to recognize and be discerning of these ministries that are out there, but you can be discerning of them. If you just employ a little bit of biblical common sense and biblical knowledge that you know to be true. And let us face this fact, that the true minister of the Word of God never gets very far away from the doctrines of Christ and the true teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that is the primary subject matter of the true minister of the Word of God. It is the primary subject matter. And we can go deeper and deeper into the doctrines of Christ. You may begin with the simplicity of the gospel, the milk of the Word, but there is much meat to enjoy within the doctrines of Christ. So if you find these ministers, which are going off the spiritual deep end, coming up with things that are kind of outlandish and are getting away from the true doctrines of Christ, then it could be an immediate red flag to you to avoid them. Because that is not what should be taught. Also, we find here, it says in verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What is the end of the person who is a false teacher? That's judgment. we don't want to be a part of any ministry that will be judged of God in that regard. We need to avoid them, for they only take others with them and lead them off into doctrines which are not of God. Let's go back to Second Peter chapter 2 just for a moment. And I think this seems to be kind of obvious here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who secretly shall bring in destructive heresies or damnable heresies. And what do? Even denying the Lord that bought them. And bring upon themselves this destruction. They begin to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to die for their sins upon the cross. They deny. And so, I would hope that we might be discerning enough on that level to realize when someone is teaching doctrines which completely are contradictory to salvation by grace through faith, and of the atonement of Christ. But see, the problem is sometimes they bring in these things very subtly, and because of that, some people it kind of escapes them on the surface, unless they are the students of the Bible and study the Bible and are picking up on everything that the person is saying. We need to listen to those who are teaching us. We need to listen to what they're saying about the doctrines of Christ, of his death. Was it the atoning sacrifice of Christ when we speak about the death of Christ? Was it the atonement of Christ that they're talking about? And what do they mean by the atonement of Christ? You see, are we understanding that they're talking about Jesus and that he is the incarnate Son of God? That he is truly Son of God. He is God and he is man. He is the Son of God. He is the second person of the triunity of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's part of the Godhead. Do we realize that when we are listening to these people? What they are saying about the Godhead? What they are attributing to Christ about the Godhead? Do we discern that? So you have to listen a little bit more closely to discern what they're saying about those things and whether or not they are saying what is true to the Scriptures. That's the idea of realizing whether or not they are denying the Lord who bought them and whether or not they're bringing in damnable heresies or destructive heresies. So we do need to do that and to be discerning about that. And of course the end, therefore the tree that produces inedible fruit, that is the minister, preacher, prophet, whatever he may be referred to, therefore the tree that produces inedible fruit will be cut down and burned. God says the person will be judged. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. If you had an apple orchard, and you had, if you came across a tree in your orchard that would not produce edible fruit, what would you do with it, you see? Well, the only thing to do with it would be to cut it down and get rid of it. Because it is a bad tree. It is a bad tree. It will not produce edible fruit. So you'd take an axe to it, you'd chop it down, and you'd burn that thing and get rid of it. Because it's just going to be a problem. And it will corrupt the rest of the fruit. And that is basically what he is saying. False teachers corrupt others. They corrupt others. And that is why we should make sure that We stick to the true teaching of the Word of God and to those who teach it. And even so, people are going to make mistakes. They're going to say something wrong once in a while. Everybody does. Nobody's without a slip of the tongue. But That isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about those who are truly not teachers of the Word of God. They are false teachers. They are wearing sheep's clothing, but they are not true sheep. They do not produce good fruit. They produce bad fruit. And we must be on. We must beware, he says, that we can be discerning of these, and know the difference between a bad teacher, a teacher who is not truly a teacher of the Word of God, and one who may be just a little inept, perhaps needs a little teaching themselves, but is seeking to honor God and maybe learning, false teachers are, by very nature, false in what they are saying. And so we need to be discerning about that. Let us look to the Lord.